It's the astronomical Dave Renicky, the man who knows the heavens above and, well, I'm not sure if he knows what's below. Hello, David.
I'm glad to be back. Okay, thank you.
There's a bit of a buzz about Buzz Aldrin hitting Australia, and you have a connection.
Yeah, look, I've already spent some time with Buzz some years ago at his home in California. We talked about a lot of things there, and that was part of a magazine consignment or assignment I was on. He's coming out to Australia again in a couple of weeks' time to push the Mars effort. He's part of the new Mars push to get people to go there. He's got people behind him, backers, and being brought to a few of the states. He's not coming to Brisbane, unfortunately. Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra. He'll be in the Melbourne Town Hall on Friday, November 4, and then into Sydney at the Horton Pavilion on Sunday, November 6, where we will be. Now, I've been asked by the promoters to help push this along. Ray Martin will be the MC for the night, and he's got behind him some people from NASA coming out too, who are well into the pre-planning stages of NASA's effort to go back to another world, namely Mars. So it's going to be a great night. We're going to be part of a movie or a documentary that's been put together about the Mars effort from Ron Howard. Well known, of course, for producing quite a few good movies, including Apollo 13.
I'm a bit surprised they haven't got you hosting, David. Why Ray Martin?
Yeah, that would be good. No, I don't think I'd fit into this. This is big shot territory. Ray Martin's a good comp here. He's well known around. But look, the tickets have been reduced now. They do have quite a few left over. It has been a good result, but not maybe as good as what. I think the ticket prices are the thing that people look at now. These ticket prices have been drastically reduced. Anyone who wanted to go there, just go to my webpage now and you'll see the details on how you can be part of the audience on this. Now, it's one night only in each of those cities and we'll be having a meet and greet afterwards too. So davidrenicky.com, davidrenicke.com. And good to see Buzz at 84 still in there, isn't it?
Well, do you get a chance to interview him at all?
I don't think so. He's become fairly reclusive now in that regard. I don't know why. I think there comes a time in your life when you've had a cup full of the same questions, I think. And after all this time, you know, he's just a little bit weary now of all this same as.
Yeah.
I think now he's holding back. He doesn't mind the odd personal appearance from time to time, but he is reluctant to get too involved in things like that. Mm. I think age is catching up on him as well as it is on a lot of the other people from that time.
I don't think age is affecting him, David. I've seen his press photo here and there's a lot of cheek in those eyes.
He looks pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So anyway. Speaking of Mars, Elon Musk has a vision for the Mars colony, and finally he's given us an idea of what we can see.
Yeah, well, look, in the last 12 hours or so, he's come out with a bit of a conference overseas, a meeting. He's opened it up to the public and the press to come along to. Quite interesting. He'd been asked to be criticised a fair bit about his plans to go to Mars. How is he going to do it? How are you going to fund it? What sort of obstacles get in the way? And what planning have you got in the way of your spaceship? How are you going to build? He's already got the spaceship.
Keep blowing up, though, David.
Well, only once. He's only lost the one. I mean, there's been another accident very early in the piece, but he's really only had one launch problem, and that's not bad up to 26. There was something gone wrong there, of course, but this is not the same rocket that he's got in mind to go to Mars. He's unveiled his interplanetary transport system, and the Mars base is going to be called Mars Base Alpha. He's the first one to say we haven't got all the bugs ironed out here. He's also the first one to know and tell publicly that he hasn't got all the money to do that. Now, he's calling on backers, and there are a lot of people who will come in under that umbrella to do this. I think we're going to see a concerted effort to go here, to go to Mars. And there are people now, you know, ready to take on the challenge. Mm-hmm. So he's outlined the vehicle he's got. He's got his plans to land a small drone, if you will, capsule on the surface to start an oxygen regeneration system. That will be called Heart of Gold, the spaceship. Quite interesting. And the equipment will follow after that for a crewed mission to follow as well to put it all together. So he's looking at putting a couple of dozen people on the planet's surface initially to get a rudimentary base up and running. And I think good luck to him.
Yeah, Matt Damon's done it all before, though.
He did.
Such a good movie. I watched it again on the weekend and realised, God, there's, you know what, they've got the info, the film writers got some really good information about what's proposed for Mars. And, you look at Elon Musk's version of what he wants to do, and it's very similar to the movie, so I'm not sure who was speaking to who. And keeping the focus on Mars, David, was there some sort of crash that was making the news there a couple of days ago?
Yeah, unfortunately, European Space Agency's lander has crashed on the surface. This was launched about 7 months ago. Very promising mission, a double mission to, with the mothership there, the orbiter, which is still intact and working, to sniff the atmosphere for gases, trace gases, any indication something may be alive there, methane, ammonia, carbon dioxide, oxygen, and things like this. That is still in orbit around the planet, but the lander itself, called Schiaparelli, has unfortunately suffered a mishap, and they believe that it's crashed into the surface at probably 300 km an hour. Now, nothing I know can survive that. They have found it. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter owned by NASA has flown or overflown the area where we think it came down. They can see an indentation in the surface of Mars, which is pretty equivalent to what they would expect. And also, there's a little white patch nearby, which they think is the main chute. Something's happened in the last 30 or 40 seconds of the descent. Maybe the parachute broke or didn't come out completely. Maybe the thrusters it fired that were gently landed on the surface didn't work or didn't fire long enough. We don't know, but we do know that it is a mission lost. But, again, it's a two-part effort, and the orbiter is still there and still working okay. Yeah. Bit of a sad loss when you think how much time and effort went into this. This is the second time.
The millions as well.
Oh, lots of money involved with this. It is a joint mission, by the way, between the European Space Agency, and they've been very successful landing on comets and things, but Mars is a different story altogether. They've joined up with Roscosmos, which is the Russian equivalent of NASA. So it was a joint European effort, unfortunately, no more, and we'll just have to wait and see what the outcome is for a future mission.
More at davidrenicky.com. And what's this buzz about Planet Nine that's overtaken us in the last week?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this. This is an interesting story. There is a ninth planet out there, they think, or they believe there is. It's not been fully discovered optically yet, but we believe there's something out there that's causing a distortion, a massive change and a wobble in the sun, in the solar system itself.
So if I use the word Planet X on Nibiru, is that the same thing?
Planet X means the unknown planet, yeah. Planet X is not a bad name for that because it is an unknown factor, and they think it's about 10 times bigger than the Earth. So this is a pretty big world that's out there. What's got me interested in this is the fact that the work being done on it has been done by a man by the name of Mike Brown. Now, Mike Brown is known as the Pluto Killer. He was the one that found the big world out past Pluto.
Oh, yeah, that was him, yeah.
Yeah, in 2005, which led to the demotion of Pluto. So Mike Brown is a planet hunter extraordinaire, and he knows his job. If he says there's a big world out there, you've got to start believing him. But the reason we haven't seen it is simply because it's so far from here. It's many times the distance of Pluto from the sun, and if you were standing there on that planet looking back at the sun, it would only appear like a dim star.
Okay, there's more on your website, of course, davidrenicky.com. And one final thing, David, what is this story about citizenship applications being taken? What is this?
Oh, boy.
Some space nation, Asgardia, can you please explain that?
I'll do my best because with all the weird stuff that I come across and write about, I'm having a bit of trouble with this. It reminds me of Gulliver's Travels. Oh. We've got the floating city. This is a group called Asgardia, Asgardia.
Well, they've got a website and everything, have they?
Yeah, asgardia.space. Go and have a look at it while I'm talking to you. Asgardia .space, and your listeners can do the same thing. You'll see that this is open up for applications for future citizens. What they want to do is have millions of people eventually living and working in space in this floating city.
I'm looking at these figures here, David. In less than 40 hours since the announcement, more than 100,000 applications to become Asgardian have been received.
Amazing, isn't it?
Wow, they're announcing their government structure.
Yep.
Hang on. Apparently Asgardia went under a cyber attack a couple of days ago. Obviously someone's having a lend.
Well, look, in essence, it's an idea whose time hasn't come yet, but it will. This is a floating city. They eventually will have, I guess, if it works out, millions of people living and working in space for many years at a time. You wouldn't have to come back to planet Earth. bold plan, physically impossible to try and do at this stage, but it doesn't mean it can't be done further down the track. Asgardia is a bold venture. How it's going to go or develop or how it will end up, I do not know. But it sort of it comes back to science fiction again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
These are the sort of things you used to read about in the old comics or see in some of the old B-grade science fiction movies of years gone by. Even when you go to things like Star Wars, you know, these are concepts that people are putting forward now that may seem crazy and wacky to us as much as rocket ships were to somebody from 1920 or 1930.
Yeah, have a look at their nation rating. China's number one, USA number two, we're number 13. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Long way to go. Anyway, more at davidrenicki.com or asgardia.space if you want to pursue more of that. However, back to the Earth and our vision into the stars. You've got a way to make it nicer for Christmas, David.
Yeah, I think you might have one of these sort of cars yourself. I don't know. Look, what model motor vehicle? This is for a telescope, by the way. We're going to draw this on December 15. So it's only a few weeks away. It's an $800 telescope, Bilko, with a five-year warranty. Two major eyepieces go with it. It's a complete professional grade scope, big scope. What model, and there's 10 free tickets in this for the winner, what model of motor vehicle has a badge displaying the Pleiades star cluster? Now, the Pleiades is known as the Seven Sisters. If you've got one of these cars, you've probably seen it. What model of current model of motor vehicle, popular car, has a badge displaying the Pleiades star cluster?
Let us know on our Blurred Truth Facebook page right now for your chance of those 10 free tickets. David, till next week.